Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, we're going to start with a little quiz. We're going to start with a quiz, everybody, and this isn't meant to embarrass you. This is just to kind of check where you're at with the modern culture. What is a YouTuber? Perhaps I should start with what is YouTube, but I think most of you have heard of YouTube. But if I say, oh, yeah, that guy's a YouTuber, what does that mean? Do you connect with that? Does that make any sense to you? What if I say, hey, I know this couple, and they have a vlog? Do you know what that means? What is a vlog? What is a vlog? What's going on there? What if I use the name Logan Paul? That's not two separate people. That's one person. Logan Paul, who also has a brother. But Logan Paul, do you know anything about Logan Paul? So these are all things that have to do with not just social media in general, but YouTube specifically, and a controversy that's been going on not for much longer than a week now, with some people that are YouTubers, vloggers, who make literally close to $2 million per month. These are people in their early 20s, and they've amassed such huge audiences on YouTube by doing things on YouTube that are ridiculous or silly or shocking it's the voyeuristic side of us that likes to watch ridiculous things happen or go into somebody's life and see what kind of stupid things they do on a daily basis. And these people amass views and viewers and add more to their channel and more subscribers. And then all of a sudden you get to a point on YouTube where they're like, hey, we can make a lot of money because you have a lot of people coming through your store. And then they go into the megabucks, and the top YouTube people are making $3, $5, $10, $12, $15 million a year creating these little videos and just throwing them out there to the masses. And we consume them to the tunes of hundreds of millions of views. So today on Theology Thursday, a slightly different take than usual. But when we do this, occasionally a couple times a year, we'll talk to our friends in the communications department at Southeastern Baptist here on the seminary campus. And Amy Whitfield and Sam Morris are with us today. And they are really kind of in charge of all the communication world here at Southeastern, which includes all the social media stuff. So we're going to go down this road today because many of you are kind of probably in my age group. You're 40 to 60 or 65. And if you don't know what those things are that I started the show with, that little quiz, I can guarantee you your kids do and your grandkids do. And there's a lot going on there spiritually that we need to understand and be prepared for. So we're going to talk about this today with Sam and Amy. And guys, thanks for being here and thanks for bringing up this subject. How are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
Good to be here.
It's great to have you. And how did this get, let's just start because we're going to get into the story of what just happened with this one particular YouTuber, Logan Paul. But how did this hit your radar screens for you guys?
So for me, usually the way I came across it was actually across the BBC. That's where I look for most news just in the beginning of the morning. And so for me, that's where I saw it first was on January 2nd or 3rd. I can't remember which one it was. Just the article talking about Logan Paul and the video that he made in the suicide forest in Tokyo, just at the foot of Mount Fuji. So I saw the article, read that. I've been familiar with Logan and Jake Paul just from being in the world of social media, being in viewing a few different YouTube vloggers.
Yeah.
So the web vlog is a video log, kind of like a web blog is what we call a blog. So in that world, being in that world and seeing those different types of daily vlogs. I had never really taken much note of Logan or Jake Paul, but I did start taking a little bit more note January 2nd when I saw the article.
Yeah.
That he had posted this video on December 31st, and in it he shows a deceased suicide victim in the forest. And so there's kind of a trend going on that they go, YouTubers, vloggers will go to this forest and kind of do a horror type of film. But the difference is usually they don't show anything. If they do come across something, they turn off the cameras. The difference here was this was intentional. It was shown and then it was joked about. And they panned back and forth a couple of times between this, you know, poor individual who's hanging in a tree and themselves making jokes and making light of the situation.
Yeah, and it didn't take long. 6 million views and 500,000 likes on that particular video didn't take very long before Logan took the video down. YouTube didn't, but we'll talk more about that. But Amy, you're a parent like I am. How did this get on your radar screen?
Yeah, so I saw it come across on Twitter, was just looking and noticed that a bunch of people were talking about Logan Paul, and the name jumped out to me because I have middle school age children. I have two, and I've heard the name before. So they've talked about Logan Paul. They haven't talked about his brother as much, but they've talked about Logan Paul. And immediately I thought, okay, what's going on with this guy?
Yeah.
And when I clicked on it, you know, of course, all my radars went off, and I'm very quickly getting them and saying, hey, do you guys know about this? And they did. They were aware of this video. They didn't know that the controversy had begun. And so my attention was really caught at that point, just to see what had happened. And in some of our, you know, conversations in my family, we were talking about, as Sam just said, you know, the camera is panning back and forth and it's including this, but there were so many decision points along the way about this, not just to keep the cameras rolling, but then to take the film and to edit it, to, you know, include that and to post it.
And then upload it. Right.
Right.
And let me just say this, because this is going to be an important part of our conversation today, especially Sam talking to you on the technical side. I know you guys, you know, I know you and your husband. I know you guys have protections on your internet. We do at home. We use TeenSafe on their phones. We use NetNanny on the computers and stuff like that. I use Covenant Eyes with myself and my wife, all this stuff. But on YouTube, this stuff still shows up, even if you have all these filters.
Sure.
So you're blocking out porn, but this kind of stuff still shows up. And then we have middle schoolers and little kids.
Right.
You know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of age know about this stuff before we do as their parents.
Right. And we think a lot about security, and we think about security from spots. What you said, filters. We also think a lot about, you know, security from predators and, you know, things like that, having access to our kids. We're thinking about all of those things. We're not necessarily thinking about the content that they are consuming, that even if they're not seeing some of these explicit things, or even if they're not open up, they're still seeing tremendous, you know, immaturity, poor discernment, levels of things that we don't necessarily want them to be exposed to.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. And YouTube's had a couple of problems last year. Sam will help us navigate those waters and understand what is and is not happening on YouTube. YouTube has taken action against against Logan Paul. Once you find out how much this guy makes, like I said, it's you know, close to $2 million a month. Both he and his brother, there's so much money being made there. Why do they make that much money? What draws people in? And what does that say about you and about me and especially about our kids? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
I got a message, I got a song, can I get a witness, tell me what's going on.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. By the way, it doesn't matter whether you live here in the Wake Forest area of North Carolina, where I live, Raleigh, North Carolina. It doesn't matter where you live in terms of accessing content at Southeastern. There's some amazing opportunities and content available online. So if you just go to sebts.edu/radio, you're going to land on a little page there that will make it easy for you to find a bunch of the online content. It's really an amazing resource here, which is why we started Theology Thursday several years ago anyway, which was just to give more people access to what God has planted up here. And through all the teaching and the wisdom and an amazing staff and people like Amy and Sam supporting with the communication side of it, and then all the teachers and Dr. Aiken, who's on once a month, all that kind of stuff. So you can access that too. You don't even have to be a Southern Baptist. So you can get over, you just want to love Jesus and want to get a little deeper into the Word and a little further along in your faith. Southeastern has, for me personally, every class, every opportunity to interact with professors has had a huge impact on my walk with Christ and has had a huge impact on my ability to do radio. So I am confident you'll be blessed that way as well. SEBTS.edu, and throw a little /radio on there and you'll get all kinds of great information. But talking to Amy and Sam today about something that a lot of you probably are not aware of. You know about YouTube. You don't know so much about YouTubers or vloggers. You probably don't know much about Logan Paul. Who he and his brother, Logan's the older brother, and his younger brother, is it Jake? Is that his name, Jake?
Jake Paul.
Yes.
Making close to $2 million a month because they drive so much content to their page. And then YouTube, Google, all those guys are like, hey, you've got a lot of content. You got a lot of people coming to your page. How do you get people to your page? You got to give them what they want to see. So they the stupid stuff, ridiculous stuff, outlandish stuff. And just recently, back at the beginning of the year, Logan Paul is in that suicide forest at the base of Mount Fuji in Japan, where people go to commit suicide. And they came upon a guy who had hung himself, and they shot it, and they included it in the video. They edited it. They uploaded it. And it didn't take long. 6 million views, 500,000 likes. Before Logan removed it himself, YouTube didn't even remove it. And our kids can see this stuff. I don't care how many blockers you have on your computers and on your phones to deal with porn. This kind of stuff still gets through. So that's why we're talking to Sam and Amy. And they live in the communications world as I do, and especially on the social side and in the internet side. So we need help, and we need to deal with this. And we need to see what it unlocks in us theologically that we need to deal with as well. But guys, again, thanks for being here so much today. So Sam, how does this stuff get through YouTube? Because like I said, Logan pulled this nasty video down himself because he got hammered. That's the market reacting. It's amazing that we still have a line in the sand somewhere where people will get disgusted enough to fight back. But it was still posted. It still got up there.
Right. So part of what YouTube has is you of course have terms and conditions, just like you have anything else, where you can't post certain types of things, copyrighted material, any of those types of things. However, with YouTube, it gets a little fuzzy because you can post educational material. So you can have, say, like documentaries about different wars that have happened, which show perhaps gruesome images of war. And they can be uploaded because they're educational in purpose, documentary. However, you can also have other things like this, which is uploaded. And this is, I mean, he's purely entertainment.
Yeah.
He's purely for the sake of showing what he's doing, crazy and outlandish things like you said. And so what he's able to do is get this kind of by that filter because, one, he's generating so much content. So on a regular basis, I think the last – before this happened, he had posted one vlog every – 400 one for every 450 days for 450 days consecutively. He had not taken a break.
One a day.
So one a day at least. So he's generating tons of content. Each of their videos for both of them combined, you're looking at anywhere between 20 to 30 million views per video per day.
Man.
So you think about it, he had 6 million videos or 6 million hits on this video, but that's a quarter if not, right. You know, less.
It's a fraction
than what he actually would normally get in a given day. But I also think it's something to be said to him, and I think it is commendable. While I don't enjoy his videos, I do think it is commendable that he did pull it down. He received the criticism, he did apologize, and he did pull it down of his own accord. He didn't have to be told by the parent company of YouTube to do this. Now, granted, YouTube should have come along, I think, a lot sooner to say, this is against terms and conditions, you
Absolutely.
Need to pull this down. But to his credit, he did pull it down. When faced with criticism,
yeah.
YouTube, I think, has some issues that they'd have to address. And this is the similar type of situation that they had in the fall.
Yeah, so they had a couple of major instances last year, right?
Yes.
Where they had a big problem.
So if we go back all the way to January in last spring, you had something that the YouTubers, the content creators, they call adpocalypse. And it has to do with the advertising and the way it was done, the monetization of ads and videos that these content creators make. And so that was a big issue for content creators. But then in the fall, you had this issue where videos are being uploaded that are geared towards younger individuals showing grotesque things. And they're slipping by the security because they're aimed at a younger audience, A, and B, they're being marketed as something else.
Right.
So you don't expect to see these things in these videos.
Because as a parent, you know, you can go to YouTube and then all of a sudden on your computer, you can restrict your kids' access that the only thing they're going to see is, quote unquote, the kid-friendly side of YouTube.
Yeah. Right.
But stuff still gets in there.
Yeah, stuff can still get in there. So I think on YouTube side of things, and it's the good thing about YouTube is it's a part of the Google behemoth. So there's the ability to make changes, to be heard, and to say we do need to work on security and make things better. But I think that's something that YouTube and Google, and as the parent company of YouTube, has to do, is to make this a better platform, a more responsive platform to the millions of videos that are being uploaded a day to the platform. And with these types of people, these are Logan and Jake are in the top 5% of content creators. So they're seeing more views than most videos will ever hope to see, you know, in an hour. So I think that's part of it is they have to realize that the people who are being viewed the most probably need more scrutiny. But you said it, I think during the break, it's all about the Benjamins. you know, YouTube is getting 40% of the ad money that comes in through these people. So these top 5%, they're getting 40% of their total money.
Oh, and these YouTubers blow away network television. They blow away Fox News. They blow away all those media platforms. Yeah.
So if you're getting $2 million, YouTube's making $800,000.
Right.
So you've got to remember that these people are, like, YouTube is making a killing from these types of people, these top 5%. And so for them, it's harder to make a slap on the wrist to these. So there is a bit of business there, but there also needs to be a bit of, hey, this is a bad decision on your part. We need to make this right. Now, again, coming back to Logan Paul, he did do something commendable by taking it down of his own accord.
Right. Yeah. Commendable when painted into a corner because he got hammered.
Right.
He got hammered by his own audience. And then, because to me, that's just math.
Right.
If I'm getting enough.
It's business.
If I'm getting hit enough. Then it's a good. It's like Richard Nixon deciding to resign. Mm-hmm. Well, he was going to get impeached.
Yeah.
So it's better for me. The optics are better if I go ahead and resign. I'll pay a higher price if I get impeached.
He still did get hit pretty hard today.
Yeah, and he still is. What happened? Well, we're going to hit a break here in about 35 seconds.
Well, I can talk about it real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Google pulled. He was a preferred program, so they pulled him from that, which means the brands who sell, this is the top 5% of YouTube content creators. They're no longer able to pick him as a place for their content to be viewed.
So that in one day dried up the revenue.
Yeah,
that
he took a big hit
to some extent, not completely.
Not completely, but a significant amount.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll finish up a little bit on that, then we'll turn the corner, talk about the spiritual side of this. We'll talk about it as parents, and did we even know that our kids are exposed to stuff like this? Why do we watch this, and what does it draw out of us? We have a great blog from another Southeastern grad here when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. That website is always sebts.edu. Here with Amy Whitfield and Sam Morris, who head up the communications team here at Southeastern. So they deal with all kinds of communication stuff, but a lot with online social media and this YouTube phenomenon that's going on, and vloggers and YouTubers and all the money that's going through there, and tens of hundreds of millions of views and all kinds of content. And this kind of blew up recently, right at the beginning of the year, with this guy, Logan Paul, who went through that suicide forest, which is in Japan at the foot of Mount Fuji. And came across an individual who had hung himself, and they included that in the video. They blurred it out. But then there was excerpts, because they had to edit it. Amy made this point earlier. They had to edit it, put it together, and upload it. But there were excerpts, too, where they're laughing about it. And that got up there, and 6 million views, which isn't a lot for these guys. They're 20, 30 million a day. But 6 million views, 500,000 likes before the tide turned on him, and people got mad. And then he took it down himself, and then YouTube has slapped him. Financially, now that just came out today, but we're talking to Amy and Sam about this, and I want to turn the corner, and instead of talking about YouTube and Jake and Logan Paul, I want to talk about us, and I want to talk about our kids, and I want to talk about human beings in general, because this is a massive issue in terms of what we're marinating in. Our kids watch this stuff all the time. We both have all kinds of blockers on our internet, but it doesn't block this kind of stuff out.
Right.
And it's a huge issue.
Yeah, and this is where it gets into, we have to start digging deep into what is coming into our homes and recognizing that it's not just about what we see. It's not about what is kind of traditionally understood to be inappropriate. These people are living their lives in front of millions and millions of people. They're posting every day, which means that our kids are seeing them sometimes as much as they see us.
Yeah, man.
They are encountering. And when you look at their ages, you step back and say, you know, as I just said, you step back and say, the kids do immature things all the time. They do stupid stuff all the time. But there are two differences here. One is they're doing it in front of everyone every day, so it seems very normal. But then they also have the resources to do really stupid stuff. You know, people have dug more into some Logan Paul's videos and have seen him. Even before he went to this forest, he was in Japan and he was going around and was kind of disrespectful to a lot of people. So he's got the resources to travel all over the world to do kind of crazy things. And he's doing it in front of kids that are really young to watch this. And they're, as you said, they're marinating in it. They're seeing it all the time. Yeah. It's not just seeing one person do something really dumb and then we think about it later. It's every single day. And so we have to start cluing in. You know, technology is here and there are really good sides to it. My kids, they submit assignments through Google Classroom. They do quizzes with their professors or share flashcards, not professors, their teachers. I'm thinking seminary. with their teachers, they do flashcards, things like that, great apps to help them learn. But on the flip side, that means the access to other things is massive too. Right. And if we're not clued in, then we can't talk about some of these things.
Well, I think the other thing is as parents, if we don't see, if I don't see naked bodies and really crazy stuff, I think it's probably okay. And it's just silliness and it's foolishness and it's childishness. But it goes a lot deeper than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And we have to make the decisions. What are the things that we step back and say, and we've had to do this and say, well, we're going to draw the line and we're not going to watch this. And these are the reasons why. And what are the things that we're going to look and say, okay, I understand that they are seeing this, you know, whatever vlogger they may be watching, I'm going to watch it too.
Yeah.
You know, there are some great ones out there. There's a group, Dude Perfect, I think, is there. They do a lot of trick basketball shots.
Yeah.
They're really fun. So there's some great stuff there. So I'm going to watch what they are watching. I'm going to kind of have an idea of what's happening, and we're going to talk about things. And we're not going to just say, no, don't watch that. We're going to say, we're not watching this, and this is why, because we want you to be. And I've also tried to think how we point our kids to role models like a family member or someone in our church or other people and say, this is someone to look to as well. So it really is about checking in.
Oh, exactly right. And you can't technology is here to stay. They're not going to you can't run and hide.
Right.
Now you can go move to Pennsylvania if you'd like and get a plot of land and unplug everything. Which sounds nice. Tempting from time to time. but listen, our kids are wading into this, so it's a matter of how do we kind of take these things captive and deal with the reality that is only going to grow. It's only going to get worse in terms of the invasiveness of technology. Zach, one of my friends on Facebook, we're not on YouTube, not yet. We're going to be doing YouTube Live here in the near future. But right now, this was a great point. Zach said, I'm not really surprised, not because this is okay, but what do we expect? At the end of our new society is a culture depraved of all morality. Hitler said, I want to create a new generation of young people devoid of conscience, imperious, relentless, and cruel, where Hitler left off moral relativism has accomplished. Is the new normal, is no God needed? What then is morality? Of course, and that's where we're at. And these things may not be obvious as porn, but the content that's going on in these things is what our kids are marinating in. And what draws us to this stuff? I mean, we're in a theological, spiritual conversation now. What is it that draws us to it? And then I'm going to get to this other blog, as a matter of fact, in the last segment of the show from a former student at Southeastern, Aaron Earls, who questions why do we attack the way we do and jump on these things. But why does this have such a draw for all of us in general, spiritually speaking?
I think it's a big question. But I think for some aspect of it, there is let's take this one for instance, just the idea of death and suicide in a forest, it's something horror of itself. There's a bit of unknown there. There's a bit of this seems unnatural to me that death exists, and so it's like staring at a train wreck.
Yeah,
right.
It's easy to stare at something that we don't understand, and then two, it feels unnatural. And I think rightly so, on a theological level, death should feel unnatural. It wasn't a part of the intended creation. It is a part and a portion of the fall. And so when we fall into staring at or the temptation to look at something like this, I think it is part of us to go, this isn't right. And it's actually, I think it's pointing to something larger than us to say there is something more going on here. And it is that death is unnatural. And we should this weird infatuation we feel about it is because it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
So I think it points to a larger picture of both the sinfulness of man, but also the desire of man to find completion where completion can only be found.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that, you know, the sin in the human heart is not new. These platforms are magnifying it
right.
and are giving more fire to it, or giving more opportunities to kind of sit in it or to see it in new ways and to have it in overdrive. And that's what's, I think, important as parents to recognize is that this is not, I mean, when I was a kid, there were celebrities doing dumb stuff.
Sure, sure.
But I might not know about it until it popped up in a magazine or, you know, something was on the news and all you would see is a still picture that they went to a nightclub. And
yeah,
you know,
if you
whatever.
Even watched the nightly news or got People magazine once a month.
Right. You just kind of randomly knew about it. These are things that people are just seeing all the time. And so it's very normalized.
Yeah.
And so it's just magnifying the sin that's already in the human heart and it's giving a lot more exposure to it. And so it just means we can't fall asleep at the wheel.
And we struggle with it, and we're discerning mature Christians.
Yes.
I mean, how often do you flip through Facebook and just find myself, I'm going, what am I doing?
Well, yeah, and that's where, yeah. I mean, we've talked on this show before about our attraction to Twitter and to, yeah. you know, immediately going into just really the way we treat each other, the way we can get into arguments, mm-hmm. and we can, next thing you know, we're just kind of in a cesspool of conversation. So we're adults and we are drawn to things. So it's no surprise, but it takes a lot of work to kind of shepherd them through this.
Yeah, there was Chris Martin, who's been on this show before and has spent some time out here at Southeastern and works at Lifeway. He wrote an article about this, you know, parents, please don't let your kids watch Logan Paul and that. But he brought up this book from a few decades ago, Amusing Ourselves to Death. And then instead of using the word television, he switched it to YouTube or social media. So I just want to read some of these. These are really alarming. Social media, in other words, is transforming our culture into one vast arena for show business. What I am claiming here is not that social media is entertaining, but that it has made entertainment itself the natural format for all experience. Here's another one. For the message of social media as a metaphor is not only that all the world is a stage, but that the stage is located in Las Vegas, Nevada. Here's another one. All that has happened is that the public has adjusted to incoherence and has been amused into indifference. The YouTube screen itself has a strong bias toward a psychology of secularism. These are all the things that this was written a couple decades ago, and it's absolutely nailing it. Today, those who run YouTube do not limit our access to information, but in fact widen it. It does everything possible to encourage us to watch continuously. In America, we are never denied the opportunity to amuse ourselves. And that's exactly what's happening, not just to us as mature Christians, but especially to our kids. Are we paying enough attention? If it's not porn on the screen, that doesn't mean it isn't harming our children and doing damage. We'll talk about that. And then why do we jump on it? As soon as this stuff happens, we jump on it. Another great blog from a former Southeastern student, Aaron Earls, from his blog, The Wardrobe Door. We're going to read from that as well when we come back, right after this break. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Going down a couple different roads today, but all based on what kind of blew up on YouTube since the beginning of the year. Logan Paul, a huge YouTuber, 20, 30 million views a day. They just crank these things out. Massive audience. He and his brother both make, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million a month. Because of all the traffic that's driven and the things that can end up on YouTube, just because it's not pornography doesn't mean it can't be harmful to all of us, but especially to our kids. But then we're kind of turning the corner talking about what draws us to that, which is obviously our own depravity. I can't remember who said that the seed of every sin exists in every human heart. And that's true for all of us. So none of us escape that kind of reality. But we're going to turn the corner in the last segment today. And this is a great blog that was written by Aaron Earls, who I think graduated from Southeastern.
He did, mm-hmm. Yes.
Really goes to something that I'm going to broaden this out and really something that I should probably hit all of us right between the eyes, is whether it's Logan Paul, who does something obviously wrong, and then we all jump on the bandwagon and get it, get in line to start beating the tar out of each other. This kind of, as soon as somebody gets in the spotlight, we just go ballistic. And it really brings out the worst in us, and especially for those of us that call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. I think this is a massive problem, and I'm going to read something. This is in Aaron's blog, but he brings this up from George Orwell's, his classic novel, 1984, called The 2 Minutes of Hate. So this is what Orwell said when he wrote that. The horrible, and this is what was happening, Orwell was saying this is going to happen in the culture. The horrible thing about the 2 minutes of hate was not that one was obliged to act a part, but that it was impossible to avoid joining in. That should sound a little familiar to all of us. Within 30 seconds, any pretense was always unnecessary. A hideous ecstasy of fear and vindictiveness, a desire to kill, to torture, to smash faces in with a sledgehammer, seemed to flow through the whole group of people like an electric current, turning one, even against one's will, into a grimacing, screaming lunatic. And yet the rage that one felt was an abstract, undirected emotion which could be switched from one object to another like the flame of a blow lamp. And Aaron goes on to say, that has become much of social media today. We have a regular occurrence of the 2 minutes of hate. And we've certainly seen that with the Logan Paul incident, but we see it all the time across social media with all kinds of targets, don't we?
Yeah, I think part of that, we term it the fear of missing out, FOMO. And it can be, I mean, I think a friend of mine posted a picture on Instagram the other day. He said FOMO, it said FOMO kills, fear of missing out kills. Because you have the idea that you can get bullying going on and everyone wants to get on top of bullying
a
person.
A mob mentality develops.
And then what happened in Australia just a couple of days ago, this young girl committed suicide because of something like this. And so it's the idea that we feel like everyone else is doing it. We need to therefore then do it. And one of the things that I think we have to always remember, especially with this, is one, criticism is good. It's a good thing. To be critiqued, to be better from critique, that's a good thing. But to demonize individuals made in the image of God is a sinful thing. And so we have to be careful. When are we critiquing? And when are we outright just trying to tear down someone for the sake of tearing them down because everyone else is doing it?
Do you see these types of wildfires, Amy, in the evangelical world as people put stuff out on the social media and they disagree with whether it's the Arminians versus the Calvinist stuff, that kind of stuff?
And everybody wants to join in and they think, I've got to seize this moment and I have to be a part of it. I have to put my opinion out there. And, you know, the rules of debate no longer apply because social media allows for a mob. Everybody just throws their opinions out there at once. And so people are afraid of letting it pass by. And, you know, two things are happening here, which I think Aaron really gets to it. He talks about that if our emotions are spent on outrage and our energies on anger, then we don't have anything left, you know, to be positive. We're not trying to address real issues. And that he deserves to be criticized but not destroyed, he says. And I think that plays out two ways. I think, one, it plays out, there's something to be said that this happened. He made the decision he made because of public response. So that doesn't mean that we don't say anything.
Right.
But it does mean that we have to think about how. So first of all, how we publicly speak about it, how we go after, you know, or register our concern in that way, but also in how we do talk about this with our kids. So just going to them and saying, we're not going to watch this anymore because he's bad and that's it, that's not going to cut it. I mean, we have to talk through this and we have to even respect his dignity as a human being in talking to our kids, because this is someone that if they don't watch him all the time, they still know about him and they can't start, you know, hearing about things in these black and white terms. We have to walk through. Here's why we don't want to be exposed to this, but here's what we want for him. Here's, you know, we want growth. We want change.
Well, I mean, and Aaron says this in the same blog, our 2 minutes of social media hate are really about proving to ourselves that we have value by dismissing the value of somebody else, but our worth will not increase one bit by attempting to ignore inherent humanity in someone else. We only serve to decrease society's recognition of it as a whole, including our own lives. And what happens here on social media is when you start jumping in on that mob mentality, this happened to me when I was really involved in the culture war, you know, hammer him, hammer him, hammer him. Well, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And it really killed my desire for evangelism.
Right.
Because I just saw the lost or the liberal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're the enemy and they need to be hammered and put in their place. And I feel sanctimonious and self-righteous, and it's righteous indignation that I'm expressing. But the Bible says a fool gives full vent to his anger. So all of a sudden, it really coarsened my heart for the outsider, for the lost, me as a conservative. You know, I looked out at the masses and I'm like, ah, to hell with them, bunch of liberals. Mm-hmm. Jesus looks out at the same group and weeps because he sees they're like sheep without a shepherd. Mm-hmm. And I think that's happened inside the church. We saw it over the last 2 years with Donald Trump, where we turned on ourselves, on each other, versus the who would vote for him, who thought he was God's man, and who was the never Trumpers. Man, we just jumped all over that. It's brutal.
Right. And I think that's I think it's really important for us to have that discipline of just pausing, just stopping. I mean, that's why, you know, it says be slow, slow to speak and just slow down long enough to think. I mean, we have critiqued that this young man did not have discernment. We have to practice discernment and say, okay, what do we do here? And that the most important thing is how we are leading our kids through this. And then when we want to engage in the public square on this, when we want to say, hey, as a society, we're not going to, we're not going to kind of stand for a platform that gets used in this way.
Right.
There's still a way to engage publicly without tearing down. And, you know, I think we have to step back and recognize that this is a young man who is living his life in front of the world, has gotten caught up in quite a whirlwind. And what that has done, you know, to him at a time when, you know, maturity takes a typical road, what that's done to him, I think a lot of times these things can get away from us. And, you know, he finds himself in that forest and he finds himself doing things and making bad decisions. Well, we have to step back and have some compassion and say, well, what's our desire for him? Our desire is change, not destruction.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it is to go, hopefully there's somebody who's close to him who can critique him in a good Christian way to say, you know, hey, this isn't right. I mean, even just being impacted by the idea, like this guy's getting everything he wants in terms of cars and the lifestyle that everyone desire.
Yeah, amazing.
But the terrible reality is that if this young man doesn't know Christ, this is the closest to heaven he's going to get.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, enjoy it, but it's not, it will go away.
Yeah.
And so the hope with criticism, I think always is, and I think Aaron says this in his post is our goal is redemptive criticism, mm-hmm. that we do say, hey, you know, that wasn't right. But we do it in a manner that will be listened to. And usually I think in this type of stuff, it's going to be more personal, more one-on-one. Being able to critique someone in a way that is with an eye towards the gospel, not just a, hey, you're an idiot. You know, some people need to be hit in the head with it, you know. Hey, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
But most people are going
to
need a
But generally, you don't need to do that in front of the whole party.
Right. Most people are going to need a tactful or nuanced,
Hey,
man, that was probably one of the worst ideas, but let's talk about what we can do. And then still more, let's talk about why that idea or that idea doesn't define you if you are in Christ.
Right.
Aaron said in the article, if you do criticize, you want to do so redemptively, keeping the humanity of the other person in mind and keeping humility at the forefront of your mind. And that's really important because the thing you got to remember is that on social media platform, regardless of what it is, there's other people watching you. There's the lost watching you. There's people that are on the fence watching you. There are other believers watching you who you could cause to stumble because they're going to follow your lead.
Exactly.
And the other thing besides that is what are you doing to your own heart? You might be thinking it's over because it was just a couple things, a couple keystrokes in a late night raid on Facebook. But I think every single time you go down that road, that your heart is getting more coarsened. Well,
and those words are coming from your heart.
Yeah, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's there. People say, oh, I didn't mean that. I always say, yes, you did. You're just not that aware of how sinful you are. Mm-hmm. You meant every word you just said. That's why it came out. Closing thoughts. We got about a minute left. Amy, you want to start?
Yeah, I think the important thing is we have to pay attention. We can't just be floating through this. You know, parenting has always been tough, but it is. We have to be very vigilant. And we have to think about how we're going to handle these things and how to handle them with grace.
Yeah, you can't run and hide. You got to learn how to engage in a way that develops character and godly character. Sam?
Yeah, I think we just have to think through how we respond to people. We want to do so lovingly and compellingly, showing the grace that we've been shown.
Yeah, when you feel tempted to jump on the bandwagon, to pile on there on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, an old friend told me once, Steve, always be suspicious of yourself. And Amy mentioned this, slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. God had that penned a long time ago. We need to learn from what he has said. Amy and Sam, always great to guys and have you in. Thanks so much for bringing this up.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Okay, friends, God willing, I'll be back tomorrow, and hopefully not because I'm on YouTube. I'll see you then.